Thank you. I now refer to the agenda for the meeting. Item 1 is apologies for absence, and I invite the Chief Executive to give any apologies received.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Apologies have been received from Councillors Toome, Lamb and Florence Jukes. Councillor Florence Jukes has also withdrawn her motion from item 10 this evening, and I think along with Councillor Shrive has support for doing so, so that won't be discussed this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Are there any declarations of interest this evening? Thank you. Item 3, minutes of the previous meeting held on the 20th of February 2023. We have two sets of minutes for approval this evening, the minutes of both the ordinary meeting and the extraordinary meeting held on the 20th of February 2023. Firstly, the minutes of the ordinary meeting of the Council held on the 20th of February 2023. I propose approval of these minutes. Do I have a seconder, please? Councillor Clark. We shall now go to the vote. All those in favour? Any against? Any abstentions? Thank you. Those minutes are approved and I will sign them. Now to the minutes of the extraordinary meeting the Council held on the 20th of February 2023. I propose approval of these minutes. Could I have a seconder, please? Councillor Allen. All those in favour? Any against? Any abstentions? One abstention. Thank you. Those minutes are approved. Item 4 is announcements from the Mayor, Leader of the Council, the proper officer. I understand the Leader of the Council has some announcements. Thank you, Councillor Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Under the new procedures, a motion on notice proposed by Councillor Wyman asking the Cabinet Member responsible for leisure to engage with the organisers of Park Run to see if one could be created in Burton was considered at the last Council meeting. It was moved to the Cabinet under the new procedures. Cabinet agreed with the benefits of such an event to Burton and event organisers. We would engage with the event organisers to see if one could be created and start those discussions. We'd be pleased if one could be set up. And a second motion on notice, which I proposed around recognising the investment that the government's made in Burton, particularly in Branston, and through the Levelling Up Fund, that the investment that the Staff County Council submitted bid and was successful, and that we would welcome a third round of Levelling Up Fund, as was announced earlier last week. The third announcement is regarding the use of the urgent decision procedure for the Council to submit a memorandum of understanding to facilitate the submission to access the Local Authority Housing Fund according to the timetable set by the Department for Levelling Up Communities and Housing. Whilst the detailed report was presented and considered in full by the Cabinet, because of the timing of this decision and the closing deadline of the Government Local Authority Housing Fund, it was necessary to use the emergency procedure. The 14th of March was the final day of submitting the Memorandum of Understanding, that being the Cabinet meeting day as well. Thus, it was necessary to use the procedures on the afternoon of the Cabinet meeting so this Council could access funding to participate in the Local Authority Housing Fund.
Thank you, Councillor Allen. Item 5, urgent business. There is no urgent business, but Councillor Walker, your question will be heard under item 12 first. Item 6, the Independent Remuneration Panel final report on member remuneration outcome of review. And I invite Dr. Declan Hall, please, the Chairman of the Independent Remuneration Panel, to present his report. Thank you, Dr. Hall.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for, and thank you for inviting me here this evening and the opportunity to present the recommendations of your statutory independent remuneration panel. The first thing I want to say was this was a full review, and we went through the scheme with a fine tooth comb. And just to mention a couple of things, there's actually a high level of member engagement here. I wish all panels would actually have such a high level of member engagement. We interviewed 14 members, and I just want to make a note here now, and I want to make an apology to Councillor Mrs. Clegg. Mrs. Legg, we've got listed as a Conservative backbencher in our Appendix 1. In fact, I believe she was a Labour backbencher. So, Councillor Mrs. Legg, wherever you are, our apologies. Don't know what I was thinking when I wrote that. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we broadly found that the scheme was fit for purpose, largely based upon the representations made to us. I mean, we had an interesting discussion because we did extensive benchmarking. We benchmarked against all the other districts in East Fast plus, you know, I think it was just 6 nearest neighbours as defined by SUPFA. And one of the things that we did notice, and there was a discussion on this, was that comparatively speaking, the allowances paid in these staffs are at the higher end of the comparative spectrum. But by no means the highest in most instances. In some, yes, they are. However, we looked at the other schemes, and we concluded what we've done in the past, that part of the function, one reason why you're at the higher end of the comparative spectrum, is the way the member remuneration is done here. What you do here is a relatively high basic, and that's above the average. SLAs, generally speaking, above the average, one or two are way, 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 way above the average. But compared to elsewhere, when you get a lower basic allowance pay, what tends to happen, and you can see it in Appendix 3 of the report, lower basic allowance, but everybody and their dog gets an SRA. So the real rate of remuneration, you know, so all backbenchers are allowed, you know, if they're not getting an SRA, they're not trying, put it that way. So, you know, we had a big discussion on that, is what, why is he staff at the comparatively higher end at the comparative spectrum. But again, you know, we went through that and we concluded that we were broadly happy with that. Now, going to our recommendations, we went through the basic allowance with a fine tooth comb, we triangulated it, we recalibrated the basic allowance in accordance with the 2006 statutory guidance and the methodologies, the time for the job, the public service discount, the rate of remuneration, which is based upon the median earnings of the residents of East Staffsborough Council. And we did the recalibration, and it was only a few pounds different from what you've got now, so it maintained relative value. We looked at the benchmark, again it was a little bit above the average, but we were happy with that because of the model of remuneration you've got here in the Staffsborough Council. And then we took into account member views. Now there was a minority view, some minority views, we should decrease the basic allowance. There's a minority view that there could be a case to increase the basic allowance, but on balance the majority view was no change. But going through the benchmarking and going through the recalibration, we conclude there was a case for no change. We decided there was a case for no change for all special responsibility allowances, except one, and I'm going to return to that one at the end as it goes. No change to co-op these allowances. We noticed that there's an issue arising in the mileage scheme. This is not actually raised with us, this is just something I picked up in my travels and my work that I've done. That what happens if a member is going to claim for mileage by travelling for a hybrid stroke electric vehicle? The Office of Low Emission Vehicles says that where somebody's claiming mileage through hybrid electric vehicles, then the applicable HMRC rights apply. So we thought, to future-proof the scheme, let's put that recommendation, that clarification in. Then we looked at the Dependent Carers Allowance. The Dependent Carers Allowance is not actually often, in fact, very rarely claimed, but we thought it's got express legal provision within the regulations. It should be maintained. If a member needs to claim it, they should have the right to claim it. But what we did was differentiate or clarify there should be two types of care. Child care element at the maximum hourly rate at national living wage, and elderly stroke disabled care at the maximum hourly rate at the medium hourly rate charged by Staffordshire County Council Social Service Department for a home care assistant. And I think we actually got some feedback saying that the trouble with the dependent carers allowance, that it doesn't allow for informal babysitting. Well, we actually said the scheme should clarify it does allow, if you want to use an informal babysitter, that can be done, but receipts still need to be provided. Regardless, it still has to be receipted. Indexation, in fact, well, I think that was our driver for actually being here. Historically, the allowances have been indexed, and basically, our SRA has been indexed to whatever the staff get, percentage salary increase in their salaries. So it's been used in the past, and staff have gotten 0%, the allowances have gone up by 0%, but the main allowances, we said, indexed to whatever the staff get, and it's actually spinal column 43, by the way. I think his current scheme might say 49, but that's no longer is paid. The highest spinal column is 43. Another thing that we were keen to look at, and we said we'd revisit particularly this time round, was the attendance clawback scheme, because I think we had introduced an 11th month clawback if attendance hadn't reached 50%. There was some support among members to ratchet it up even further. However, we've looked at how the scheme had been in operation since we recommended it, I think, way back in 2019, maybe 20, round about then. What we've noticed was there'd been a marked improvement in members' attendance. The fact that members not meeting the 50% attendance target and the 75% attendance target had drastically reduced. It was down to one or two. So we thought that the recommendation we put in previously had worked, and we didn't really need to amend it any further. One of the things that had arisen, before we started the review, that was the substitution process for members attending meetings, and of course that would have an impact on what accounts as attendance. And we said the scheme should be clarified that where a member appoints a subject to attend a meeting on their behalf, if they're able to attend, then the meeting attended by the substitute should be counted against their attendance, and the member sending the substitute to the particular meeting is discounted against that meeting for their attendance target. So that needed to be done. And also, I think this was true, while the panel was thin, we noted that the council had adopted a parental leave policy. And I thought, well, that really impacts on us. Really, the main thing that impacts is on attendance. Members on a parental leave, they're exempt from the attendance targets, and they're basically as an SRA, so people should continue to be paid in full. The only other substantive recommendation was, apologies to the gentleman sitting in front of me here, was for the leader of the opposition. What we noted was that because way back, we had actually reduced the SRAs for leaders, for cabinet members. Now, it used to be two-tier, depending on the size of the cabinet, and we just set it at the lower tier. So what happened then was, the leader of the opposition was paying the same as the cabinet members. And it also relates back to when the opposition was much larger than it is today. This issue engaged the panel an awful lot, and we thought, well, the workload of leader opposition could probably still have been on a par with a cabinet member, but actually their room is larger, they've got to take a view across the whole council. But constitutionally there is an important difference. Cabinet members have decision making powers, leader of the opposition doesn't. So we thought, well, based upon that distinction, there should be a distinction in the SRA. So what do we do? Do we increase the SRAs for cabinet members, or do we decrease the SRA for the leader of the opposition? We went back to benchmarking. And the biggest outlier, comparatively, the biggest outlier by far, was the leader of the opposition. It was almost double what the average was compared to leaders of opposition in our benchmark authorities. So we thought, because of that, because it was such an outlier, benchmarking was, we decided the approach we'll take is to decrease the SRA for the leader of opposition. And we noted still that even by marginally decreasing it, He's still the highest paid leader in the opposition in the benchmarking group. So we thought, okay, that's the approach we'll take. It's no reflection on the individual. In fact, we had to stand back and say, look, we're not making a recommendation on the individual here, we're making a recommendation on the role. So, I mean, as a matter of fact, I'll put it on record, the individual impressed us extremely in presentation and arguing the what they're in the talking fight. If we hadn't done that, we might have decreased it even further. So that's how we got to that one decrease in SRA. I hate to stand up here and say one person gets a decrease, everyone else remains the same. It looks like we're picking on that individual, but I've explained the situation, that's how we've arrived at it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Hall. Can I have a proposer for that, please? Councillor Allen. And a seconder, please. Councillor Clark. Does any member wish to speak on this item or have any questions for Dr. Hall? Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I suppose I'll haven't there. Can I just clear it up and clarify it? Dr. Hall is absolutely right. We did have a very good conversation. When I first read the Cullen report, I've got to admit that my eyebrows raised up. I thought, ooh, did I upset that panel? But I promise you, I did go through the full contents of the report, and the logic and the methodology is there, and I perfectly understand that the implications of that and the reasons for that recommendation, and I'll support them absolutely. Can I just say though that we all know that we're moving into an election, and I would uncertain time, and I would imagine whatever the outcome, Dr. Hall mentioned that margin between the controlling group and the main opposition, and I think I mentioned it when I was in the room with you. Now, whatever the outcome of the election, it is a very good chance, whoever be the controlling group, that the margin between that group and the main opposition, or indeed maybe any minority opposition, that those margins are going to really change and grow smaller. And I think maybe at that time we may have to ask the remuneration panel to sit again and look again. And that's all I'll say. But I certainly will support those recommendations. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Would any of the members like to speak or ask a question? Councillor Grosvenor.
Thank you very much for the full report, as always. You mentioned special responsibility allowances, and you mentioned the differential between that and basic allowance. In reading the report, I'm not sure, I may have missed something. Can you advise whether or not you did a comparison of ratio of special responsibility roles compared to total number of councillors for this council and for other councils, whether that was something that your committee looked at? And if so, what the results of that analysis was?
You're going to have to explain that to me again. Let me see if I've got it right. Are you saying, did we look at the number of SRAs payable here compared to elsewhere, or no, that's not the question?
Yeah, it's just to clarify, the number of SRAs compared to the total number of councillors, so we're going down from 39 to 37, but we have a number of special responsibility roles. What that ratio is at this council and what the ratio of that is at other councils, did you look at that, and is there any answer, you know, as to what that what that ratio is?
We did look at the ratio and the number of SRAs payable when the council numbers goes down to 37, and we noted that there's 16 SRAs payable. Statutory guidance says the public would rightly question if more than 50% of councillors were in receipt of an SRA. And I feel as on the definition is the majority of councillors can't be special. You know, it makes no sense of a special responsibility allowance. Compared to elsewhere, there are councillors that we looked at, and we didn't count. Because the panel's only got 2 days to meet. to go through schemes like that is difficult. But we don't, as a general rule, most councils will pay up to 50%, you're under the 50% rule, and some councils will pay only 50%. Indeed, I mean, one of the things that we did look at, and because the representation was made to us, was SRAs from members of licensing and planning committees on the basis that if you're sitting on licensing and planning, you're going to be attending more meetings than other councillors. But we saw it as a case, partly as a case of swings and roundabouts. You know, you could be on what is it, scrutinizing, doing working groups and whatever, task and finish groups, or you could be on other bodies which meet more often than what is normal. So, and also, we didn't recommend the additional SRAs for members of licensing and planning because we were cognizant of the 50% rule. It's not a hard and fast rule, it's a voice. Now, I have been to councils where every member, I'm not going to name it, but council not that long ago, where everybody got an SRA, and most councils got more than one SRA, but the lowest paid metropolitan, most basic allowance in the country, and that's the reason why. But we were cognizant of the number of SRAs payable, and we wanted to be within the statutory guidance. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. Are any other members wish to speak or ask a question? Okay, we shall go to the vote then. All those in favour of supporting this, please show. All those against? Was that against, Councillor Chaudhry? Because you put your hand up and down, I'm not quite sure what you voted. So.
Four,
thank you. So you did that movement, I didn't. Okay. All those abstaining. Thank you. That motion is carried. Thank you, Dr. Hall, for your work. We now move on to item 7, the Monitoring Officer's Annual Report, and I invite the Monitoring Officer, Mr. Teasdale, please to present his report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillors. So, the purpose of this report, Councillors, is to provide an annual overview for the discharge of the Monitoring Officer's duties. By way of background, the Monitoring Officer is a statutory appointment pursuant to Section 5 of the Local Government Housing Act 1989, and I currently perform that role. Section 5 of the Act requires the Monitoring Officer to appoint a deputy and keep them briefed on any relevant issues that they may be required to deal with in the absence of the Monitoring Officer. To that end, Councillors, I have appointed Ms. Sherry Grant as my deputy. Sherry is an experienced solicitor, and her input and assistance today has been invaluable. Now, regarding the standards regime, the Council has in place arrangements under the Localism Act 2011. The arrangements deal with complaints about the potential breaches of the respective codes of conduct of borough and parish and town councillors. Those arrangements appear to be working satisfactorily at present and reflect the procedure adopted by most local authorities across the country. In terms of advice given on standards matters, since my appointment, I have provided advice to a number of councillors about their obligations under the Code of Conduct, and I have given advice and support to a number of parish clerks. The Deputy Monitoring Officer has once again assisted in that regard. I had inherited 8 complaints following my appointment. These complaints have now been concluded, with the one outstanding matter having also been concluded since this report was finished for full council. Now, to get to the figures, councillors, since my appointment, the council has received 26 standards complaints composed of the following. 10 of those complaints were parish council complaints, and 16 were borough council complaints. The 16 borough council complaints relate to 7 different councillors. Of those 26 complaints, 9 were submitted by members of the public. 7 of the 26 complaints are currently live, and 3 further complaints have been received since this report has been finalised and are currently being reviewed. In terms of the Code of Conduct, the Localism Act 2011 requires the council and any parish and town council which is responsible to adopt a Code of Conduct. I can confirm that all relevant councils have adopted codes. All members of the Borough Council have completed declaration of interest forms. Councils are asked to update their declarations, at least annually, even if no changes are required to be notified. The Council has received updated declarations and personal information when appropriate, and this suggests that there is a high level of understanding of the requirements of the law. Separately, all parish and town councillors have completed declarations of interest forms also. Now, with regards to the constitution, arrangements have continued to review and monitor the operation of the council's constitution. A full review of the document was undertaken and subsequently approved by full council in December 2022. And a further consideration will take place this year of any changes that may need to be take place or integrated. Finally, councillors, and to touch base on the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act 2000, also known as RIPA, RIPA requires local authorities, officers and agents to have authorisation to carry out certain types or use certain methods of covert surveillance in order for the surveillance to be lawful. Authorisation is a two-step process. Firstly, there's the internal authorisation, and secondly, there has to be authorisation from the magistrate's court. As the monitoring officer, I am required to report to full council on our usage of RIPA authorisations and must report the fact that there have been no use of RIPA authorisations. It remains the case that no authorisations have been sought for many years, but this isn't unusual for local authorities because if there is a way to obtain information without using RIPA, then that will always be the appropriate avenue. Nevertheless, training on RIPA was arranged with relevant officers in October 2022 so as to ensure that staff are fully appraised of recent changes in procedure and legislation. And that training was arranged following an update of the Council's RIPA policy in July 2022. And that is the end of my report, Councillors Mayor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Could I have a proposal, please, for that report, Councillor Allen? A seconder. Councillor Fletcher, I invite Council to debate the item which is to be noted. Is there any member wish to speak on this matter? Okay, thank you Mr. Teasdale for your report. The next item is the Corporate Plan Refresh 2023-24. I invite the Leader of the Council to propose and present this item. Could I have a seconder, please? Councillor Faulkner, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This corporate plan supports the way in which this Council will deliver, develop and improve its services over the next 12 months. The plan plays an important role in ensuring strategic objectives are achieved for the benefit of people this Council serves, and it forms the foundation of operational service planning. This year, we will continue to offer our focus on improving the Washlands as a regional attraction by undertaking delivery of the transformed Riverside area adjacent to the High Street, turning the town around to face the river. By summer, we will see new boardwalks, play equipment, wildflower meadows, and more being introduced for residents and visitors to enjoy, creating accessible nature, conservation and recreational area. We will new temporary National Archive Centre and Regeneration Hub. This will create an immediate home for the archive collection currently housed at the National Brewery Centre, whilst facilitating an important public access point for the residents to keep up to date with the Council's regeneration projects. We know people feel strongly about the Molson Coors' decision to close the NBC, and we need a dedicated place for Burton to showcase all of its history. That is why this corporate plan commits this council to developing a proposal for a new National Museum of Brewing. The Utopia Master Plan will move forward by finalising an agreement for the development of the Maltings Precinct and wider site. This key regeneration site for Utopia has been and is being co-produced with residents. Even as I speak, an eight-week consultation is continuing. Nearly £3 million of investment is ready to go, which will be used to purchase two key properties and begin the delivery of an agreed scheme of regeneration. In recent weeks, this council has agreed to progress to heads of terms for the purchase of the co-op building, negating the need for CPO and the property and we will remain engaged in discussions with the remaining landowner in the hope of successfully reaching a conclusion without the need to use CPO powers. We will continue to explore the findings of the Business Improvement District and feasibility study, working with local businesses to create plans for a possible intoxicated bid. Not forgetting our great rural villages, the council will also work across the borough to take forward the village announcement programme. This is an exciting opportunity to fund schemes outside of Burton and Uttoxeter. Regeneration is important as it transforms areas into better public spaces, but attracting people to visit these spaces is also important work too. We will work to improve the economy of East Staffordshire as a whole, designing and developing a tourism framework, and we shall work with groups to facilitate important events in our borough, all the time looking for new opportunities to use our public spaces to drive tourism and increase footfall. We will move forward with our development proposals for Landmark Visitor Centre to further bolster the Washlands as a new regenerated destination, a town centre anchor site promoting education and of the natural environment and a great place to spend time and enjoy. Reducing carbon emissions has been a key objective since this council declared a climate emergency in 2020 and adopted an action plan. Last year we amended this action plan to also acknowledge the global, national and local loss of biodiversity, and we've already introduced a new SPD to guide applicants when applying for new developments. This year we will identify new energy efficiency and sustainable energy generation options which will progress reducing carbon emissions and energy costs at the same time. ESBC has an important part to play with regards to ASB, whether that be fly tipping or vandalism, and with the introduction of a new mobile CCTV service, a number of fixed penalty notices have been issued from the data gathered using these devices. Over the next year, their use will be developed further, and we will specifically target activity around public conveniences in an effort to reduce vandalism. We want public conveniences to remain, and we want them to be improved, but first we must reduce the vandalism. There is a number of grant schemes this council runs, and I'm pleased this corporate plan makes provision for another year of the Community Regeneration Fund at its current level, increasing the council's community fund to £1,500 per application, and the business springboard boost will return for a third year. On top of this, we will develop East Staffordshire's very own community lottery, which will provide more funding to great community projects. This corporate plan will progress this council's regeneration objectives in not just Burton, not just Uttoxeter, but across the whole borough. With more activities and stronger visitor economy, more funding for communities and safer, cleaner environments, and will do so by delivering great strategy services to residents and customers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Faulkner, do you wish to speak on this or reserve your right?
I reserve my right.
Thank you.
I reserve my right.
Thank you. Are there any councillors who would like to speak on this item? Councillor Walker, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll choose my words because I know the leader gets a little irate and stressed when people criticise, so I'll try my best not to mention his utopia of the Washlands, but bring him back to basics, as was famously once said by some Tory Prime Minister. It's a little disappointing regarding the civil enforcement that it talks about the review being carried out, and it'll be announced later in the year. But if I remember right, the 2019 manifesto pledge was which this controlling group won on was they're going to combat fly tipping via enforcement. Now, on the 2nd of January this year, we reported two settees in Princess Street. On the 17th of January, the fire brigade were called out because the kids got fed up of them being there, so they took one into Unity Park and set fire to it. On the 30th of January, we had to report the one that was left still in Princess Street. Now, at the present moment in time, there's two settees sat down the bottom end of Waterloo Street where the women and with pushchairs and children have to step off the pavement onto the road because they've been there for 3 weeks. Now, there's countless issues of this occurring across the inner wards of Burton, and I'm not blaming the enforcement teams because we know they're under-resourced. We had an issue in Eton outside the school in the hot weather with food stuff left, and the smell was horrendous. But when it was reported, we were told they can't get to it because they're up in somewhere in Alton Way, up in the sewers. Now, I'm sure and I'm aware that fly tipping issues happens in the rural areas, but we get back to one thing: the team we've got is not being utilised, right, or we haven't got enough staff. So does he now agree with me that that manifesto place that they ran on in 2019 has failed?
I don't see what relevance that's got to do with the corporate plan myself. We're talking about a corporate plan going forward, not something that's happened in the past. But if you wish to answer that, Councillor Allen, you can. Any more questions from any members? Councillor Grove, I'm sorry I can't see your light because the councillor in front of you is blocking it.
Thank you very much. I'm glad Councillor Walker's raised the Conservative manifesto that was withered on in 2019. The controlling group's only achieved 19% of the manifesto commitments from that manifesto pledge that they campaigned on in 2019. So I'm not surprised when he raises one that's not been achieved. There's another 80-odd% that's not been achieved either. I won't use the R word to describe this corporate plan. I know Councillor Goodfellow used it at the last council meeting to describe some things I was saying. I won't use it to describe this corporate plan, even though I do believe that's exactly what it is. I do wonder how many Conservatives are going to stick George on their election leaflet this year. No one? Not even you, George? Because I know a few people that are. Now, in terms of this corporate plan, I feel that the reference to compulsory purchase of the Maltings has been dropped. And now it's, we'll have conversations with the owner of that premises to see whether we can proceed without a compulsory purchase. Compulsory purchase was a big part of the commitment of last year's corporate plan, and it was referenced a number of times throughout the 12 months by Councillor Allen at various meetings that they were progressing a compulsory purchase of the Maltings, but now it's been dropped. I'd like to understand why it's been dropped, actually, and now it's just a conversation with the landowner to decide to establish whether we can buy it without compulsory purchase. And I want to understand if there has been conversations with the landowner and how those progressed, and is the landowner looking willing to sell the rest of that land without a compulsory purchase. My understanding is that that shopping centre in Utoxeter is having new tenants in the shops, so I'd like to understand that that is the case too. Excuse me. Last week, I know Councillor Walker has raised an urgent question on this, and I know the answer to it. I'm not entirely convinced that the answer is correct, but there we go. But last week, Councillor Allen went to the press and announced agreement with Co-op to purchase the Co-op building. He's referenced it again in the corporate plan tonight. I'd like to understand when those discussions took place, when they started, why nothing was said to this council about that, apart from in the corporate plan that we've just seen about an achievement for the previous 12 months. Wasn't in the previous corporate plan's commitments. It was outside the policy agenda because it wasn't in the corporate plan. So I'd like to understand when those discussions took place. Overall, it's a bit of a weak corporate plan. I would suggest to whoever takes over, and I'm looking at this side of the room, after May, you'll have to come back in June or July with an emergency corporate plan, because a lot of these commitments in here don't do anything, don't reserve, don't do what the residents want them to do, and absolutely does not at all line with what Councillor Allen suggests it does in terms of running this council. The council had a great corporate plan 4 years ago, a great budget, Councillor Goodfell, I might sneak everybody stood on that and voted for it. And had a great budget, was well financially secure. All that's been lost in the last 4 years. And we end up with this corporate plan, which delivers nothing. So I'd like Councillor Allen to answer my questions that I raised. And bear in mind that the Labour group, Union League and Emergency, one in June or July.
Thank you. Any other member like to speak? Councillor Faulkner, would you like to speak now?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to address one of the issues that Councillor Grover mentioned in terms of the corporate plan for this year and what we've achieved. Actually, we've achieved far more than we actually set out to do. During 2 years virtually of COVID pandemic, this Borough Council actually delivered over £50 million worth of funding to businesses and local residents to see them through. During that time, all of the projects that we had were put on hold, and we're now actually managing to progress them. I shudder to think the kind of mess that Councillor Grover would have made of that situation. I look forward to the next 4 years as a Borough Councillor in the Cabinet, pushing ahead with our agenda under the leadership of Councillor George Allen. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Allen. If you'd like to reply, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I'll start with Councillor Walker's questions around our manifesto pledge. It's interesting you mentioned the Conservative Party manifesto, because it was indeed the only manifesto that was put in front of the people in East Staffordshire in 2019. There was no manifesto put out by the Labour Party at that time. I've asked repeatedly. I've got an email still on record, still in my inbox, still in my email system for Councillor Hadley asking for that manifesto. It was never sent, never understood what it was. So in terms of whether we've delivered our manifesto or not, at least we had a manifesto that we sent. Perhaps that's why people voted for us in 2019. We had a clear number of clear pledges in there. The manifesto that we're about to publish is even better than that, more ambitious, and we will take it to the public over the next few months. But of course I understand that the number of Labour members, apparently there was a manifesto. I'd be very happy to see it, because I've asked for it from a number of members over the years, and never received it. I think it's a matter of public record that it's sent to, that it's available. Ours is published online and available. I'm not quite sure why Councillor Walker is disappointed with some of the corporate plan targets that are in here around civil enforcement team, as he suggested he's not happy with the way the civil enforcement team and how quickly fly tipping's picked up. The corporate plan targets in here actually aim to get those fly tipping incidents picked up quicker, and yes, we will be reviewing the civil enforcement team and understanding if there needs to be more resource, and if there's more resource required, we'll make sure that it's there. I think Councillor Grosvenor indulged himself quite a bit with his comments there. I think the only actual question around the corporate plan, Mr. Mayor, I think you touched on it as well, was around why is the Maltings CPO or the purchase of the Maltings not in the corporate plan? It is in the corporate plan. The CPO corporate plan target was in the previous corporate plan as well, which makes it part of the corporate plan framework for this year, and that's why we've been working to look for an agreement from both landowners from the relevant parties in East Oxfordshire. Just because something isn't in the corporate plan, though, and he knows this, just because something isn't in the corporate plan does not mean to say that we're not progressing it. Otherwise, the corporate plan would be a lot thicker and a lot longer.
Thank you. We'll now go to the vote. All those in favour, please show. Thank you. All those against? And those abstaining? That is carried. Thank you. We now move on to item 9, the annual report of Chairman of Scrutiny Committees. And I would ask Councillor McGarry please to present her annual report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will try and keep this as short and sweet as possible. I should do so. I am slowly losing my voice. And before I present this annual report of the Community Regeneration Scrutiny Committee, I would like to personally thank officers who have supported me over the last year. Monica Henscliffe, Andrea Davies, Daniel Arnold, Tom Deary and James Abbott. The annual report is within the agenda pack that members have previously received prior to this full council meeting, and I don't feel it's necessary to read line by line what is in the report, but I would like to mention a couple of points if I may. Firstly, this committee is very much in its infancy. We had no historic scrutiny topics to continue, and like both of the scrutiny committees from May 2022, the member structure was reduced. Therefore, although a variety of topics were brought to the table this committee year, it was felt by members that concentration should be focused on the Station Street project by all members of the committee. And also alongside this project, we would review both the Burton Job Fairs and Business Springboard Boost Grant, all of which are highlighted in Appendix 1 of the report. We will also be receiving an update on the new Toxteth Sports Hub at the meeting planned on Monday the 27th of March. I am hopeful that at this meeting, the report on the Station Street project will reach its conclusion and proceed to the next stage in readiness to bring to Cabinet with the recommendations in the not-too-distant future. That's all I have to say in the report, Mr. Mayor, but through you, I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, are there any councillors that would like to speak on this item and pose questions? No, thank you very much. Now invite Councillor Ackroyd please to present her annual report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is the report of the Health and This is a report of the Environment, Health and Wellbeing Committee, which was formed earlier this year. And the committee, as has already been mentioned by my previous member. As a result, as the report states, we have continued some of the work by ongoing scrutiny of the quarterly corporate plan performance reports and executive decision records as in previous year. In addition, we have received updates on the work of the Staffordshire County Council Health and Care Overview and Scrutiny Committee from County Councillor Philip Atkins and myself. Earlier this year, the committee, as detailed in the report, completed a survey of homelessness services that the council provides, with particular emphasis on rough sleepers. We found this aspect of the service as well regarded and therefore has been able to attract external funding. But there is a continuing need to develop ways in which these individuals are tracked and identified. Since this report was produced, the report itself was presented to Cabinet on the 14th of March, where its two recommendations, which are implementing a renewed partnership agreement with local organisations involved in homelessness and instigating further training for frontline officers, was agreed. In addition, we're about to complete a review into the White Ribbon campaign to explore the benefits of becoming a fully accredited organisation. The draft report has been sent to members for review. This will happen later this week, and it will be finalised in a meeting in April to ensure that it is completed before the end of the municipal year. Currently, there is a scoping paper on waste being completed as a spin-off from the Combined Waste Management Review completed in April 2022. At our meeting last week, we were pleased to welcome Andrea Gordon, the Managing Director of Queen's Hospital and Deputy Managing Director of Derby and Burton NHS Foundation Trust. This gave members an opportunity to challenge her on the progress that was being made, particularly in relation to Queen's Hospital, and she has, I'm pleased to say, committed to making regular attendance at the committee, which members will know has unfortunately not been the case for some years, particularly caused, I think, by the COVID problems there. But we're glad that this is going to be taken up and will be continued. I'd like to thank the committee. We've worked very hard. We've put in extra meetings to make sure that the work has been completed, and it's been a very cohesive, combined effort here. And I'd also like to thank our officers, Mike Hollis and Andrew Davis, for the work that has done. So I commend the report to the council, ask them to notice, and we're very happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Are there any members that would like to ask questions or Councillor Walker?
Thank you, Mayor. It's not so much a question, but and firstly I must apologise to Councillor Ackroyd, because the last time I did this, the chair of the scrutiny committee was asked to step down, so I hope this doesn't happen to you. But I'd like to congratulate Councillor Ackroyd on the way she chairs the scrutiny meeting. I think it's extremely professional, and how she respects democracy and the way democracy should be applied, and full and frank debates do take place at times we haven't agreed, but they've been conducted in an amicable and professional manner, and I think she needs congratulating for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? No, thank you, Councillor Ackroyd. Can I now call upon Councillor Locke, please, to present his annual report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is the first time I find myself at the front, so if I sound a little nervous, that's probably the reason why. So I'd like to start, as everyone else has, by thanking the work of the officers in supporting our scrutiny committee, that being the Value for Money Council Services Scrutiny Committee, for those paying attention. I'd also like to thank the members of my committee. We've had some really good, vibrant discussions in subgroup meetings, and we're also, as the others have, fitted in additional main meetings in order to get through our work plan. Now, over the last 12 months we have undertaken a number of reviews, and unlike some of the other scrutiny committees, we had a number of historic reviews that we needed to move through before we could add new scrutiny items onto our work programme. Now, our work over the last 12 months has largely been in relation to those. Three reviews, one of which has already gone to Cabinet, two of which are about to go to LDL, having been approved by the Scrutiny Committee. Those three reviews were into the mayoralty, which was quite a long-running review, to those of you with long memories. Now, the other two were the ICT provision review and a look at the DFGs. The DFGs was more of a longitudinal review. We wanted to observe the bedding in of the in-housing of the service over time and gather data and analyse as a result. Now, in terms of data, I do want to touch on that, because you'd have to read the report from page to page to pick it all out. But we focused on making sure that our recommendations are pragmatic and focused, that they can be enacted easily. In doing so, we've gathered data from officers' desk studies, from members, through surveys, from our SIPTA nearest neighbours, and I have to thank the officers there for cajoling them into actually filling in the many surveys that we sent them. We've also undertaken interviews. In terms of interviews, we've brought in internal and external members into our scrutiny committee in order to discuss their situation. Internally, that's included guest appearances by the ICT manager, Guy Thornby, and Thornhill, sorry, I apologise, and external speakers, including Trent and Dove, who've been very supporting. They've come in a number of times to talk to our committee and enabled us to understand the unique challenges they face going forwards. Now, over the year, we've also undertaken a call-in in relation to the Molson Coors site purchase. We've also commenced a new review, that being into civil enforcement. In terms of civil enforcement, so far we have not focused down particularly on this. We believe that that will be the role of the next committee post-May. However, we believe it likely we're going to be looking at dog fouling, fly tipping, littering and off-street parking.
In relation to that, I thank Councillor Walker for mentioning his flaming sofas. We will take that into account when we're looking at the evidence in relation to fly tipping and littering. We've also encouraged members to submit ideas and suggestions for scrutiny items through the member briefing that comes out each week. We haven't had a huge amount of feedback from that, but we always welcome that. Finally, I would like to thank you for listening and to say I'm happy to take questions and comments through the chair. Thank you.
Any members like to speak on this? Councillor Chowdhury?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I've listened intently to all three chairs of the scrutiny committees. No doubt, there's a lot of work goes into these scrutiny reviews at significant expense to the taxpayer. What I haven't heard, though, I've heard obviously a lot about the reviews which have been undertaken and the work that has been done by the scrutiny committees, which is commendable. But what we haven't heard is what happens to those reviews when the reports are presented to the cabinet, and it appears that they disappear in a black hole. So now that we are approaching the 4-year end of this council term, I think it would be useful if the leader of the council or a member of the cabinet or relevant member of the cabinet can stand up and tell us what's happened to those recommendations that the scrutiny committees, after a lot of detailed work, have submitted to the cabinet, because we don't really hear what happens after that. So going forward, I really ask what is the value of these scrutiny reviews if the recommendations are not implemented and we don't know what's happened to them. So I'll invite them to actually answer this question. Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think it's down to Councillor Locke to answer that question. You could have asked it before, but perhaps if you like to email the leader, he will give you guidance on that. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Locke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Those reports are to be received and noted. Thank you. The next item has been withdrawn, so we move to item 11. Motion and notice, and invite Councillor Grosvenor to present and propose the motion at item 11 on the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, thank you for accepting my motion. I do appreciate that. The wording is, as per the agenda item, I don't intend to read that out, but I do note with interest that the Council recognises the importance of the river and has referenced it as a blue jewel. It isn't quite that at this point in time. I took a lot of pictures at the start of March when the river itself was orange. I went to the source of that. The source of it was by the Riverside Hotel. It wasn't to do with the Riverside. It was actually a brook that flows into the river from the Riverside. I did call the environment agency, as I know a number of people did, and they promised to get back to me and to other people with a response, and they haven't. And I see in the press reported it, and I don't think there was a response to the press either. And then over the weekend, I note there are many fatbergs, I guess is what you'd call them. I think they're rubbish bergs, and some people have used more profane language than that, floating down the river. And I do think that as a council, we need to be speaking to the Environment Agency, the River Trust and others, to understand what is happening there and how the impact of that is on the wildlife, especially as the council seems to want to note the importance of the river. Like I said, there's been no feedback, there's been no public feedback on that, nothing in the press, and the public are led to believe that nothing's happening. They knew that the Environment Agency, they were encouraged to do that, and then there's no feedback as to the reasons for the pollution or the reasons for the fatbergs or the reason for the orange colour of the river. And it does concern me greatly as a council. I remember my first motion when I stood on this council was an environmental one, actually. I mentioned that the council should look at supporting a 5p charge on plastic bags. There wasn't one at that time. I remember Councillor Fitzpatrick got up and said, well, we all support saving the world, but we can't do anything as a council about five free bags when it was brought in not long after that. I'm not saying it's anything to do with this council, but certainly this council took a view on it. The council should take a view on this too. I wouldn't want members to go up and say there's nothing we can do about this. It's the river, we don't, nothing to do with us. The council has to take a view. The river is in our area. We need to understand that, and we need to make sure that everything the Environment Agency does is to protect that, safeguard it, and understand where the pollution comes from. Hence me raising the motion. I'm happy to propose it this evening, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Could I have a second for the motion, please? Councillor Walker, thank you. Do you wish to speak now, Councillor Walker, or reserve your right? Thank you. Councillor Allen, do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're quite concerned about the comments that Councillor Grosvenor makes around the river. It is, at the end of the day, the centre. We talk about a lot of the regeneration work that we've been doing with a lot of the projects, but really, it's all about turning the town around to face the river. It's the real heart, it really is the blue jewel of Burton Town Centre. And if more people knew about it and knew about the fantastic natural environment that there was there, it would drive more people to come and visit the town. It is at the heart of everything that we want to do. And so it's really concerning that there is appears to be a lot of pollution in the water and in the river at this moment. I'm not quite sure what Councillor Grosvenor mentioned, that the Environment Agency doesn't appear to have made any press releases. The latest report that I saw publicised by the Burton Mail was that the Environment Agency have confirmed that it is indeed pollution, and that they've indicated and found the source of the pollution, and that they are considering whether or not to bring enforcement action against that individual or whoever they are. And so I'm pretty sure that that's what the Environment Agency are doing, and they are doing something about it. It is important, though, that whenever we get to the bottom, or whenever EA get to the bottom of understanding what the problem is and who's created it, and any enforcement action that comes as a result of their work, that the public understand and know that enforcement action has been taken. Not only does it provide assurance that the EA and public bodies are doing the job, but it also demonstrates to anybody else who may be considering releasing pollution into the river or any other waterway that the public bodies that are responsible for these things will take action. The motion on notice, therefore, that Councillor Grosvenor submitted is, from my perspective, somewhat out of date, and I'll submit an amendment to really make it, bring it up to date, and to make it actually do something more. Very keen that the Council seem to be doing as much as it can. He references that this is not the Council's direct responsibility, but we can ask the EA to publish anything that they find, and we can offer assistance as well. If they say that they need some assistance from us, I think it's important that we offer that. So the amendment that I'm going to propose, Mr. Mayor, is that this council is motion on notice would read as follows: this council is concerned to note the recent evidence of pollution of the River Trent at the brook around the Dunstan area, and acknowledges the efforts undertaken by the Environment Agency to identify the source of the pollution and associated remedial action. The Council asks the Environment Agency to publish the results of any enforcement action so residents can be assured any environmental offence that has occurred has been enforced, and offers any assistance, and this Council offers any assistance in resolving this matter further.
Thank you. Can I have a seconder for the amendment, please? Councillor Faulkner. Okay. Do you wish to speak now? Reserve your right on the amendment, Councillor Faulkner.
I reserve my right, thank you.
Thank you. Would anybody like to speak on the amendment, please? Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I wasn't going to speak at all, but I can't understand how that's an amendment when it's more or less ignoring the whole motion. That doesn't seem to be an amendment to a motion. It seems to be a new motion. Maybe the monitoring officer can clarify that.
Mitchell Corbett.
areas has made quite a significant change. It's better that you want to process as a number at that point, because we don't distinguish any of the institutions. Well, this is what happened here. Is it a subjective decision to on the constitutes? So if we're going back to the original motion, Council must have established the first results of this space, whether it serves as a result of the previous commission, that it's not too far, it's different, it's not. It's not too far off the mark, so ultimately your call, maybe.
Having sought advice on this, I'm going to allow the amendment to stand and you can debate and vote on it. Would anybody else like to speak? Councillor Chowdhury.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Whether I must admit, I don't understand the difference or the point of the amendment. The issue here is that we have a river which flows through the heart of Burton. It has been polluted over a number of days now. I understand that Environment Agency has the legal responsibility to investigate and prosecute if necessary. But that's, to me, that obviously this pollution has caused a huge amount of damage to the environment and the natural habitat, as well as the unsightly colour of the river going through the Burton at the moment. What is really, really disappointing, and what I don't understand, the leader of the council stands up and he says, oh, he's found out from Burton Mail what is going on, what is the update. So the Environment Agency is not communicating with this council. How ridiculous is that? This council is not communicating with the Environment Agency. How ridiculous is that? But the leadership has stood up and said, listen, this is the action we are taking, you know, this is what we as a council are doing. This is how we are engaging with Environment Agency. Instead, he says, well, I don't know what's going on. I'm actually hearing through Bert Moore what's going on. That's the update he's giving us. And going forward, we're going to leave it to Environment Agency. They'll do what they'll do, and then they'll let us know what they've done. This simply isn't good enough. Where is the proactiveness? If he's saying that this river is important to us and people of Burton, and it's an asset to us, then he's standing back. He's not showing any concern whatsoever. Frankly, that is disappointing. Very, very disappointing. And you know, this is not acceptable. This is not on. This is the major asset that we have in this time, which we are trying to promote through this new tourism strategy. What are we promoting? You know, how difficult is it to identify where is the source of pollution? You know, this is not rocket science. For goodness sake, the leader of the council, he needs to take control. He's got 2 weeks left. Do something, for goodness sake, before you go. And please, you know, this is not on. And frankly, the update he's giving is very, very poor and unacceptable.
Thank you. Councillor Fletcher.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, can I ask, are we actually debating the amendment now?
Debating the amendment.
Thank you.
Well, I have some difficulty accepting this amendment because it didn't go far enough. It just simply says we congratulate them on what they've done and ask them to report on anything else. What happened to the original motion asking for us to closely monitor the situation, urgently carry out testing on all wildlife who use the river to note any impacts on the life? That, to me, is paramount.
Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got to agree with Councillor Grosvenor, Councillor Chowdhury, Councillor Fletcher, and I think all Councillor Allen was trying to do was to bring it up to date, the situation now as we've been reported from the Environment Agency. But don't blame Councillor Allen for not being in touch with the Environment Agency. We had pollution when I worked in Doctorate, where the sewage works overflowed into the pond. It took me 3 days of constant reading the Environment Agency to get an answer. The answer was, it was a permitted release. A permitted release of sewage into what was a pond in a school. Absolutely disgusting. So I think this is really outside our remit, but we are the elected representatives of East Staffordshire. And I think we should put pressure on the Environment Agency and the government to make sure that our rivers are kept clean. We've heard it on the radio all of this last week about permitted releases of sewage into the water courses. Now, whether this was a permitted release or whether it was an accidental release, it's still sewage going into our water course, and we don't want it. And we want to be making sure that it doesn't happen. So what I will ask and say, but we can't do anything as a council. Yes, we can. We've got a planning committee who have to approve planning applications. We ask Severn Trent if the sewage system can cope with these new applications. And they always say yes. If we ask the right question, can you cope with these extra houses without permitted releases, we get the answer that we want. No, we've got to put more infrastructure in there, we've got to make sure that your rivers don't get polluted. So, although I agree with Councillor Allen trying to update it into the current time, I think we've got to be careful that we protect our rivers as we're the people that are there, we're suffering from it. So I have to agree, effectively, with Councillor Grosvenor.
Councillor Grosvenor.
Thank you. As we're debating the amendment, I'd like to thank Councillor Fitzpatrick and Fletcher, actually, and Councillor Chowdhury, agree with everything they said. It isn't really an amendment, and it doesn't bring you up to date, because what Councillor Allen has said is that the Burton Mail has produced an article which says we're rather actually looking at it. We don't know what the pollution was, we don't know what it's affected, we don't know it's affected wildlife, we don't hear that. All we know is, yeah, they've looked into it. I thank Councillor Barker for his comments just now. And far be it for me to disagree or create a row with somebody in a Tory group that's actually agreed with me. There's a number of points he raised which I'd like to pick up on, actually. He referenced permitted sewage and the pumping of that into rivers. Perhaps I've heard your MP who voted for that when she was in Parliament and voted for permitted sewage to be pumped into rivers and continues for that to be pumped in. So perhaps I've heard your MP, as you know it's a disgrace, that she shouldn't have voted for it. You mentioned Planning Applications Committee, you were chairman of that for a while, and I think you're still on it, and you asked about, well, that's asked the right question. Was that right question asked when you were chairman? Perhaps not. Perhaps you'd have asked it then. And like I said, I don't want to cause a row with you, but I'm just picking up a few points which I think are double standards on what you said there, Councillor Barker. It isn't an amendment, it's a new motion. Clearly it is. It doesn't do anything that the previous motion did. In fact, it takes away a lot of things the previous motion did. Previous motion called on us urgently to look at the wildlife and the impacts of that, and called on the environment to do that, and the council put pressure on it. Councillor Barker, again, I reference what you said there, that it took you 3 days to look at the pumping of sewage into a river. With all due respect, you probably weren't chasing the environment agency as leader of the council. And if a leader of the council letter appeared on the environment agency's desk, they would have to respond to that. Otherwise, they're not working in conjunction with the council. So I can't really support the amendment because it didn't do anything. It actually reduces the impact of the original motion. And effectively, pats the environment agency on the back for doing nothing and for not reporting back to residents what the pollution is, what's the impact of that on the wildlife, and more importantly, who's done it. We need to know that, and we need to know how they've done it, why they've done it, and how it's going to stop. And the new amendment or motion doesn't take that into account, doesn't bring it up to date. It just references there's been a report in the Burton Mail, which Councillor Sheridan said, how ridiculous that this council is getting its update from the Environment Agency through the Burton Mail. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Faulkner, do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let me nail one or two fallacies here, please. First of all, the amendment doesn't mention the Burton Mail at all. Councillor Allen was putting that into context. Secondly, as Deputy Leader responsible for Environment and Climate Change, I was aware of this late in the afternoon when it was actually spotted. And I, with another councillor here, Councillor Wildman, hunted around to try and find a source.
We thought we found a source but couldn't get to it because it was boarded up. I reported this to the senior officer responsible for climate change, Mark Risk, and he advised that Collins should actually contact the Environment Agency, which he tried to do, and Mark actually contacted and wrote to the Environment Agency with regard to this. So I refute all Councillor Alley's suggestions that we did nothing. It was down to the remit of our officers, who are operational, rather than the guidance and strategy of the Deputy Leader. So, to actually say we did nothing is completely false and wrong. I agree with what Councillor Barker said, that when Councillor Grosvenor says he should have done something about it as Chair, Councillor Grosvenor seems to forget that he was the leader at the time when Councillor Grosvenor was Chair of the Planning Committee, and he could maybe have done something about it instead of pontificating about it now. So what I would say is that we have brought the Council up to date in terms of where we're going. They now know that official action has been taken, and we are waiting for the Environment Agency to actually let us know whether any enforcement action will be taken and what remedial action will be taken on that. And as far as we are concerned, this is bringing it up to date, and it's asking all the same questions but in a different way. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Allen.
It's almost like this is an election in a month's time. I don't quite understand how I can stand up, make an amendment which really makes sense of it, and I didn't really want to say it, but the original motion is full of grammatical errors and it makes very little sense. That's really why it's difficult to amend it in so many ways that I found myself crossing the whole thing out. But I really only made the amendments because it actually does something. It actually helps, says that the council will openly and is happy to support the Environment Agency in its work. I was responding to Councillor Grosvenor's initial remarks around the Burton Mail. It was Councillor Grosvenor that started talking about reports in the Burton Mail. As Councillor Fortner has already suggested, we have been in contact with the Environment Agency. In fact, just an hour, about 5 o'clock this afternoon, Mr. Deary showed me an email from the Environment Agency that said that they have been the investigation is ongoing. So we have contacted the Environment Agency. So the opposition should perhaps just calm themselves down and stop getting so quite excited about it, simply because there's an election in a month's time and the manifesto is yet to be written. So I'm going to persist with the amendment to the motion. It can amend a whole lot if it wants to. That's not against the Constitution. And in fact, as long as the sentiment is still there, this is about what the Council can do to try and get answers out of the Environment Agency and asking them to publish it. And what this amendment, the key part about the amendment, is it's offering support, not just ridiculing and campaigning and protesting against another public body. It's offering to work in partnership with them, which I think is a really important point, because the council is not responsible for pollution in the river. It is not responsible for enforcement against it. The Environment Agency is, but there might be something that we can do. There might be some resource that we can apply, some other regulatory powers that we can use to help the Environment Agency in their quest. At the end of the day, that's fundamentally what this amendment's about. It's about trying to get answers. It's about trying to understand what has happened to the river. How I can put an amendment in like that and then get ridiculed for doing it is absolutely beyond me, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Wilkie, you get the final say on this. It's been the seconder of the original motion. If you would like to speak. On the amendment,
The amendment's still being debated. If Councillor Porker wants to talk, that's right.
Yeah, if you want to speak, you can. You raised your hand before. While Councillor Aaron was talking, you raised your hand. Did you want to speak?
Yes, I did, but I presume he's just closed. That was all. I mean.
Is it closed?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was.
But you see, members, so the initial was that. Sorry, was that George's right of reply?
Yes. Okay. Just a minute. So I
thought that was your sure right reply that we moved to the front.
Yeah, that's just what I thought. Never mind, thank you.
Just for the record, I did indicate I wanted to speak, but...
Well, he'd already started, so I'd like to give you time.
Well, he hadn't, but...
We'll argue about that later.
Well, I want to be fair here, but I did wait, and he didn't reply. Okay, so members... on this debate then, which is now closed, we will go to vote on the amendment.
Well, we vote, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly have the amendment read out again, because I'm not sure it's there. And I certainly think it's ridicule the leader of the council.
Okay. Would you like to read your amendment out again? Okay. Thank you, Councillor Fletcher. Would you like to read out your amendment again? I've taken advice from the monitoring officer, and we're satisfied that it is an amendment and it stands. Yeah, well, this council is concerned to note the recent evidence of pollution of the River Trent at a brook around the Branston area, and it acknowledges the efforts undertaken by the Environment Agency to identify the source of the pollution and associated remedial action. The council asks the Environment Agency to publish the results of any enforcement action so residents can be assured any environment offence has been enforced and offers any assistance in resolving this matter further. Okay, so all those in favour of the amendment, please show. Thank you. All those against? And those abstaining. Okay. The amendment is carried.
Mr. Mayor, and I believe we debate the substantive motion.
This is a substantive motion.
That's it.
Yep. Okay, would anybody like to speak on the new substantive motion? Councillor Grosvenor.
Thank you very much. Obviously voted against the amendment because, well, reasons that we gave without debate. Just to clarify a few points. Members of the opposition aren't getting excited because of the election time coming up. Members of the opposition are excited because the river has been polluted. It's a natural aspect of Burton and we want it to not be polluted. That's why members of the opposition are getting excited, just to confirm that for Councillor Allen. I do believe, as Councillor Barker referenced, the Planning Applications Committee should look at this with regard to Severn Trent and also the consultation of applications or impact sewage. And just to confirm for Councillor Fulton's benefit, as he already knows, Planning Applications is a separate authority. It's a planning authority, which is separate to the local authority. The Chairman of the Planning Applications Committee works on their own remit. I never interviewed the Chairman of the Planning Committee, and it's really interesting to note that, on one respect, Councillor Fulton would say, in my time as leader, I interfered too much, but on the other hand, when it suits, I didn't interfere or influence at all with regards to the Chairman of the Planning Applications Committee. So try and get your argument straight. I will abstain on this because it doesn't do anything. It doesn't achieve what was meant to achieve with my motion. It was perfectly worthy. Members understood it across the chamber. Members of the opposition understood it because that's why they got up and defended my motion, to say actually wanted to achieve something that the amendment didn't achieve. So Councillor Allen didn't understand it. That's not my problem. Other members did. My motion was sufficiently worthy in order for this council to take action and work in partnership. That's why this motion doesn't achieve that, and I won't be supporting it, but I will abstain on it. Thank you.
Thank you. And the member wishes to speak, Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move an amendment, actually. And I'll read it out. That this is a proper amendment that amends what you've now just, what you're now debating. The Council calls on the Environment Agency and other relevant organisations to closely monitor this situation. Just checking up my light was on there. This situation. And to urgently carry out testing of all wildlife who use the river to note any impacts on life. The Council would ask that those organisations then publish the results of this to assuage residents' concerns. Amendment.
Thank you. If you can just sign it for me. Thank you, Councillor. Can I have a seconder for the amendment, please? Councillor Fletcher.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Thank you,
Councillors.
Just to the amendment, I'll speak that I think it reinforces what residents are concerned about, what Councillor Grosvenor was trying to achieve in the first place, and I think, which is a sensible course of action on top of the amendment you've just agreed. So I would just ask simply, I don't want to prolong the debate, but support the amendment and let's get voting on the substantive motion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anybody else who would like to speak? Councillor Barker. Councillor Fletcher, I did.
As it's an amendment to amendment, I presume I can speak again, is that all right? Thank you very much. Just to clarify a point with Councillor Grosvenor, yes, I was chair of the Planning Applications Committee, but you learn as you go on. You realise that it's something we could have done over the years and we haven't done. We've got a local plan review coming up. I shan't be here, but it's something for you to come back to think about in the future. Because, as he suggested, central government isn't going to look after our rivers. Us local people are going to have to do that. So we're going to have to hold these people to account. So I'm quite happy to support Councillor Fitzpatrick, because what that is also doing is asking them to look at the wildlife and the problems that this has caused, so we've got that information for the future as well. So I will support Councillor Fitzpatrick's amendment to the amendment. Thank you.
Councillor Fletcher, unless anybody else wants to speak.
Nothing to add really. Councillor Barker just said what I said originally, and which I stand by.
Councillor Goodfellow, and then.
Sorry, no, I had it quite quick enough there, thank you, Mayor. I think the amendment that Councillor Fitzpatrick is suggesting is in fact directly contradictory to the substantive motion that we had just voted for. And what it's also done is removed the important element of working with the Environment Agency and giving them the support. So we've just voted for that, so let's just keep that as a substantive motion and get on with it.
Sorry, Councillor, there isn't such a thing. Councillor Chowdhury.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think we have a sensible amendment to the motion, which I feel is workable. But look, as has been said, we need to understand what's happened. We don't really want people, you know, Councillor Fulton going out there and putting himself in danger. Instead, what we should be saying to the Environment Agency, you know, go and shut up this valve. You know, surely there must be a valve that needs to be turned off. Why is it being left on for so long? If it is some kind of a release of polluted material, a kind of substance. So I think it's useful and practical motions. And I think working with the Environment Agency, I don't think indicates that. I think we all say that we should work proactively with the Environment Agency. So it doesn't take that away at all, actually. he just suggests something which is practical from tangible output, is in some kind of urgency with the Environment Agency. Ultimately, I agree that they are the people who have the responsibility to enforce this kind of incidents, but it feels like things aren't happening quick enough and people are left wondering what's going on, drawing some conclusions rather than getting some kind of proper information and engagement from Environment Agency. So I support the amendment to the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Councillor Warren, Member Spears. Councillor.
I'm beginning to, you know, lose the will to live here. I mean, so are we not all concerned? Genuinely, I would have thought everybody in this council is concerned about the pollution on the River Trent, not just on the River Trent, by the way, all the streams and brooks in East Staffordshire. I was there, I did see the river turn. I think it was more of a muddy brown than orange, but whatever, that's just semantics, isn't it? I was there when I saw that, and I did go and have a look. I did certainly mention it to Councillor Faulkner, and we had a look. We tried to look to find out where the pollution was coming from. We couldn't. The Environment Agency are the correct authority to do that. I would personally like to see someone from the Environment Agency, a chief of the environment, come to this council and actually say, what has happened? Why are our rivers polluted? Because they are polluted, there's no doubt about it. The Trent used to be, you know, excellent a long time ago, it seems. Of course, the pollution is getting worse and worse and worse. Oh, it seems that way. I'm an expert, of course. I care about wildlife, as many here do, certainly, and people in the gallery as well. We care about wildlife, we care about the bees, we care about the insects, we care about the things that live on the river, and actually people as well. We must also remember people live near the river. You know, so you've got all that pollution going on. Can you just, please, Mr. Mayor, we've got motions after amendments, read Councillor Fitzpatrick's motion and Councillor Allen's, the leader's motion, amendment, should I say, both of those amendments. Are we going to debate those two amendments put together and then do it that way? Please, can we do that? Can you read those two motions so that we can now have a new motion, okay, other than Councillor Grosvenor's? And by the way, I understand what you're saying, by the way, Councillor Grosvenor, and I also understand what Councillor Barker's saying, and anyone that supports wildlife. Can you do that, please?
Okay, so the procedure we'll need to be is that we need to vote on this amendment first. If it is defeated, somebody can put forward another motion if you want to, amalgamating the two, but I think that's the way that it has to be. So we need to finish the amendment. We need to vote on this amendment first.
Vote, yeah, on this amendment.
Okay, and then if somebody wants to put forward yet another amendment which amalgamates both of those two, I will listen. Okay. So I think Councillor Allen wants to speak first.
At the end of the day, the choice for members right now is between a now substantive motion, which key part of it says that we will commit to working with the Environment Agency to help them understand what has happened and how to, and if they need any assistance. We're offering to do that. That's what the council is offering to do right now. That's what the substantive motion says. The rest of it is talking about, the substantive motion is talking about asking for answers and trying to get those answers from the Environment Agency and asking them to publish those answers when they've got those, when they found out what has happened and what's occurred. Now this amendment removes that last part of the substantive motion. We now apparently don't want to help and assist the Environment Agency. We just want to complain that they're not doing a good enough job. And with that, Mr. Mayor, I'm afraid I can't support the amendment because it's taken away the key part, which is about offering to help and assist the Environment Agency in getting to the bottom of the problem. As Councillor Wyman suggested, this is about the river, and this shouldn't be politicised. No one's politicising this. All we're trying to do is to get to the bottom of a serious problem, and to get there as quickly as possible. We're not pointing fingers, we're not looking for trying to find somebody to blame, trying to say that Environment Agency isn't doing a good enough job, trying to say that the Conservative government has done this, that and the other, and our MP hasn't done this. It's completely irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant unless, like I suggested, there's a local election in a few months' time. The substantive motion, as it stands, offers puts this council in a position of support and partnership working with the Environment Agency and ask them for answers and ask them to publish those answers. And when we get those answers and we get that clarity, we can send that round to all of the council, and perhaps we should ask the Environment Agency for a member briefing or for some sort of presentation on how they deal with these things, so that members are quite aware how all of these things work. But I'm afraid, Mr. Mayor, I can't support the amendment as it is.
Okay. Councillor Grosvenor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to thank Councillor Fitzpatrick for bringing the amendment, which I use the word honours, but it doesn't. It actually reinforces what the original motion set out to do. I'd like to thank Councillor Wyman for his comments there. We are interested and concerned with the wildlife. The substantive motion doesn't reference that. And if he agrees with me in being worried about the wildlife, I ask him to support the amendment brought by Councillor Fitzpatrick, because it deals with that. There's only one person in this chamber that's politicised it, and that's Councillor Allen, who's referred three times now to members of the opposition doing this for political reasons because there's an election coming up. That's completely disingenuous and is disrespectful to members of the opposition. I brought this motion originally. Members of the opposition have supported it because we're concerned about the river, because we want the Environment Agency to take some action. Nobody is having a go at the Environment Agency. What we're saying is we need to publish the results, publish the impact on the wildlife. You said yourself, Councillor Allen, we're not responsible for doing the action of understanding what the pollution is. It's the Environment Agency. So when you say to work with them to understand what the pollution is, it's for them to do that, but it's for them to report back to us, report back to the residents and tell us what the issue is. And that's what we're asking them to do in this amendment. And that's it, pure and simple. When I brought it, I didn't realise it was going to cause the Conservative group so much trouble, to be honest. It's quite a straightforward motion that was brought because I witnessed in my ward and in other wards, as the river rolled down to stretch to Stapen Hill and beyond, the pollution in the river. And it was quite straightforward. Let's do something about that. Let's work with the Environment Agency, who hadn't reported back to residents, who have called them, and I know they haven't, and hadn't reported back the impact on the wildlife. Let's ask the Environment Agency, what is the issue, what are you doing, and what's the impact on the wildlife? And that's what my motion was all about. Didn't realise it would cause that much trouble. I support the amendment because the amendment does what was intended to do originally. And it's not having a go at the Environment Agency, it's saying to them, what's the issue? Tell us what the issue is and what have you found? We can't find what the problem is, they're the experts in it. And they need to do the work and they need to report back to us and the impact on the wildlife. I thank Councillor Fitzpatrick, absolutely support the amendments. And in saying that, no doubt that's put the kiss of death on it now with some Conservatives, the fact that I'm supporting it. But I am, because it does what was intended to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll come back to what Councillor Grosvenor said in a minute. The reason I brought the amendment is because Councillor Allen's motion, which you say is a motion, which totally wiped out the original one, doesn't go far enough. This is a really important issue. I believe there may be members of the public up there who want to come tonight because of this item. Because it is important. It is meant to be the jewel in our crown. It is very important to our Rosslyn's enhancement. This has happened. I haven't got a view on which way I was going to vote or do anything on this motion, original motion, because I wanted to hear what was said in this chamber. Well, I'm a bit shocked what I'm hearing on a simple amendment that just helps us to get to where we need to be on an important item. Come back to Councillor Grosvenor's comments. I agree with you. It's as though Councillor Allen, 6 weeks out from an election, does not want to lose a motion. Doesn't want to lose it at any cost.
then really the sensible thing is to accept this amendment and vote everyone vote for the substantive motion. Where's the politics in that? It's about what's in our river. Councillor Allen has mentioned, as Councillor Gregory said, about the election, politics, the opposition, the Conservative government, so many times in this meeting. I can't believe it. Now, it's got to stop. I know you're electioneering, but do that out on the streets where the rest of us do it. That's what out there is for, or on your Facebook or whatever else you're going to do. But not in this council chamber, when we're debating something that's really, really important. And I urge council members, the public will see this. This is too important. This makes it go further in the right direction. Please support this amendment.
Okay, we're going to the vote on the amendment. All those in favour? All those against? And all those abstaining. Councillors, the motion is lost. However, as chairman and mayor of this borough, I too care very much about our environment and our borough. And if a councillor would like to come forward with a properly worded amendment which amalgamates both of these amendments together, I would be very happy to receive it, because I feel that both amendments have their pluses. And
Mr. Mayor, can I propose there before you take a 5-minute recess so councillors can get together to reword the motion rather than do it properly?
I'm sorry if my colleagues don't agree with me, but I think I need to be fair on this one, and I want to support everybody and my borough. So a brief adjournment for 5 minutes, then whilst the appropriately worded amendment, if somebody would like to get their heads together.
My intention is that I want to bring the House together on this very important item. So I will read out this amendment, which I will put forward to be proposed and seconded, and then hopefully we'll all be unanimous in what we want to do and we can go to the vote. But my idea is I want to bring all of the members together, united together, in this very important issue, and that's why I've taken this course of action. The Council calls on the Environment Agent and other relevant organisations to closely monitor this situation and to urgently carry out testing on all wildlife who use the river. To more Oh, to note any impacts on life. The council asked the Environment Agency to publish the results of any enforcement action so residents can be assured any environment offence has been enforced and offers any assistance in resolving this matter further. Could I have a proposer for that, please? I think it's Councillor Allen, and the seconder was Councillor Fitzpatrick. Can we go straight to the vote on this one, councillors? Okay, all those in favour, please show. Okay, any against? Any abstentions? Thank you, we got there eventually. Thank you for your help. Okay. Okay, councillors, please. That's the amendment, so now we've got to vote on the substantive motion, which is that proposed by Councillor Grosvenor, seconded by Councillor Hadley. All those in favour? The substantive, it becomes substantive. Okay, any against? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. That motion is now carried. We then move on to the questions, and we had an urgent question given to us earlier today by Councillor Walker. You've received a reply, Councillor Walker. Are you satisfied or dissatisfied with your answer?
Obviously dissatisfied.
Okay, do you have a supplementary question?
Yeah.
Especially after what we're doing tonight. Why was it a political statement and not a press release from the council?
Thank you. Councillor Allen, do you wish to reply to that now or later in writing? Later. Okay, thank you. The second question was by Councillor Grosvenor. Are you satisfied or dissatisfied with your answer?
Dissatisfied.
Do you have a supplementary question?
I do, yes. I'd like to ask the Cabinet Member to answer the second part of the question, which was, if they went to the County Council the day after the Council meeting in June, why it's not been reported back to this Council, which is what this motion originally said should happen last June, that it should be reported back to this Council. If the Deputy Leader, I believe it's Councillor Faulkner, went to the County Council the day after the meeting and asked the question, then surely they should have reported back to this council, and they've not done that. So can I ask why he didn't report it back to this council? Thank you.
Okay, Councillor, I think it's if you wish to reply now or later in writing.
I'll reply in writing, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And we now move on to a pleasurable piece of the business tonight, to agree the member to be elected as the 31st Mayor of the Borough of East Staffordshire. I invite the leader of the council to put forward the nomination. Mayor, yeah. Just put forward a nomination and I'll get it to propose.
Apologies, Mr. Mayor, I thought you asked me to propose it. I'm very happy to propose Councillor Chris Sylvester to be the Mayor.
Thank you. Can I have a proposer of that, please? Councillor McGarry, a seconder. Councillor Gaskin. Now to go to the vote. All those in favour, please show.
I should be abstaining on this, but whatever the result of it, I will certainly support whoever is to be mayor at the mayor making.
Okay, thank you for your nomination. Do we have any other nominations at this time? Okay, we should go to the vote then. All those in favour? All those against? And abstentions, please. Okay, that motion is carried. Now we're on to item 14, to agree the member to be elected as the 31st Deputy Mayor of the Borough of East Staffordshire. We invite the Leader of the Council to put forward a nomination.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Very happy to nominate Councillor Patricia Ackroyd as the Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Could I have a proposer, please? Councillor Ashcroft, and a seconder. Thank you, Councillor. I can't remember your name. Sorry. Killoran, thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Okay, are there any other nominations?
Okay, we'll go to the vote on that. All those in favour? Against? And abstentions? Thank you. And that vote is carried. I now declare the meeting closed, and thank you for attending this evening's meeting. And for those that would like to meet me afterwards in the Mayor's Parlour, I wish you a very warm welcome. I think she's not one of your fans. And